Books, books, books. Do you read books? Well, if you're in the younger generation, the probability is you don't. Books have become not very popular with younger folks. But you know what, folks? You can download them to your mobile device. You don't have to go to the library, but libraries are cool. You know, I love our library. That's what my wife and I do for a fun afternoon. I know it sounds a little, but really, really, wait till you read a few of these books. You are going to be so excited and motivated, and you don't have to read them this semester. You have plenty of time, rest of your life. So let's read together the bibliography, books to read, eventually. There are dozens and dozens of books about investing. Only a few, in my humble opinion, stand the test of time. If you're going to read any book or books before beginning your investing journey, the first three books are the best choices. In our humble opinion, I should really change that to mine. I'm hoping that eventually some other people get involved with writing this textbook, but we'll see what happens. The rest, the first three, we'll spend some time on those, but the rest are either dedicated to investing or financial planning or financial literacy, except for the last book, which is something very special and unusual and absolutely awesome. And you can get all these books at your local library. You don't even have to go there anymore. You can download them from the library to your mobile device. Do it. Read. Psst. It will give you an unfair advantage over your fellow students who would rather eat barbed wire than pick up a book. The first book I often recommend to people is called One Up on Wall Street. It's written by a gentleman by the name of Peter Lynch. Now, we're going to discuss Peter Lynch in our class in the text. He's awesome. He was the portfolio manager of the Fidelity Magellan Fund for 13 years, 1977 and 1990. During those 12, 13 years, he posted average annual returns of 29%. Unbelievable. No one's ever done that. No one probably ever will do it. When his first book was released, I think in 1988, the critics were ready to pounce on it as a self-idolizing piece of fluff. Well, you know what? Nothing can be further from the truth. It's easy to read, thoroughly enjoyable. Peter Lynch makes a strong case for owning stocks and buying what you know. He has a delicious sense of self-deprecating humor that puts the reader at ease. Everyone who has the slightest hint of investing should read this book. Now, another good book to start with is called A Random Walk Down Wall Street. Professor Burton Malkiel was one of the pioneers in the academic research that produced the efficient market theory and random walk theory of investing. He eventually served on the board of Vanguard Funds and was involved in the creation of the famous Vanguard 500 Index Fund in the mid-1970s. Like Mr. Lynch, Professor Malkiel has a wonderful sense of humor, and he takes no prisoners. He skewers the fundamental theory of investing, which we're going to learn about, the technical analysis theory of investing, which we're going to kind of learn about, and even his own efficient market and random walk theories. Everyone is fair game. If you don't want to read One Up on Wall Street as your first book, this is your next best choice, in, again, my humble opinion. Now, eventually, don't read it as your first book, okay? Eventually, you're going to want to read The Intelligent Investor. Make sure you get a newer edition with a commentary by Jason Zweig. Now, the problem is Benjamin Graham his stuff was kind of opaque. His prose is very difficult to penetrate at times, which is why they hired Jason Zweig, a genius thing to do. And so you'll read the chapter from Benjamin Graham, and then Mr. Zweig will say, okay, this is what Mr. Graham meant. he'll bring it down to you. Eventually, every prudent, long-term oriented investor must read The Intelligent Investor by Mr. Benjamin Graham. As we said, Mr. Graham was Warren Buffett's teacher and mentor. As I said, don't read this as your first book. I'm warning you. You'll get turned off if you read it as your first book. And again, start with the recent editions. There was one in 2003 or 4, and then there was another one more recent. So they're at the library. Mr. Warren Buffett has taken the teachings of Mr. Graham to heart, and he's used them to become one of the best investors the world has ever seen. But he's not the only one. He's not the only one. Mr. Warren Buffett wrote an essay called The Super Investors of Graham and Dodd. And so he talks about other people who are like him. And that book that preceded The Intelligent Investor is called Security Analysis, that created the super investors of Graham and Dodd. Because David Dodd and Benjamin Graham wrote Security Analysis before Mr. Graham wrote Intelligent Investor. And it is often credited with creating the concept of value investing. So Mr. Graham is often called the father of value investing. Now, don't do this one until you've read The Intelligent Investor and are serious about digging in to it's a pretty lengthy and rigorous piece. And in my humble opinion, they spend far too much time on hybrid securities, which most of us retail investors just aren't interested in. But Mr. Graham was working for companies on Wall Street, and they had lots of money, and they owned a lot of preferred stock, because a corporation owns preferred stock, not normally individuals. Will learn about that later on. Now, who doesn't like a good story? It's a little dated. It's called Wall Street People. You can still get it at the library. Charles Ellis. Anything, you can read anything by Charles Ellis. It's really good. But even though it's a little dated, it contains a treasure trove of stories about the men and women, mostly men, but we're changing that, ladies, right? That populate the investment world. Some are heroes, some are villains, some are just regular folks trying to do the best they can in a high-stress world. All are interesting, I find. The best one is the one about Jack Bogle. It's like a page and a half, but it encapsulates Mr. Bogle's thinking. It's a really great little story. In addition, please note that anything that Charles Ellis, is worth reading. He's also noted for coining the term the loser's game for short-term speculation, trading of securities. So yeah, don't play the loser's game. We're going to do our best to dissuade you from doing that. Now, Peter Lynch wrote a second book called Beating the Street, and it's not as groundbreaking in my humble opinion as his first, but it's still a great read. It's still chock full of good stories and tips and techniques from the master. And when you have time, it's a good one to read. Now, I hope I got the story straight. Peter Lynch then wrote, along with he wrote all three books with the help of a professional writer. But, his material shines through. Learn to Earn. So we may have the story wrong, but our understanding is that the folks at betterinvesting.org, an awesome organization that we will discuss in the class, asked Mr. Lynch to create a how-to manual using his concepts and techniques he introduced in his first two books. The betterinvesting.org folks, that's the organization that sponsors the investment clubs, and we hope to have somebody come speak at one of our classes and show us their premier, their iconic tool that they use, the stock selection guide. Now, this is not the name of a book, but anything that Mr. Michael Lewis has written is awesome. So you want to pick up everything he's written. He's written on many different things, but mostly he writes about finance. He's just recently written something about the COVID pandemic, which has just come out. So I want to grab that when I have time. But you want to read Flash Boys. This shows you how outgunned you are as a retail investor when you're going up against the big boys and girls on Wall Street. And by the way, it's the technology's way out of date by now. He wrote it about 10 years ago, and it's I'm sure that they've gone on to bigger and better things. He's most famous for The Big Short and Moneyball, which were turned into movies. But read anything he's written, anything. The New York Times book review wrote, and I love it. I love it. I would read an 800-page history of the stapler if he wrote it. So there you go. That's a great recommendation. Now, here's a book that's going to be hard to find, but it is tremendous fun to read. It's called How to Make Money in Wall Street by Louis Rukeyser. Before CNBC and MarketWatch and The Street and Yahoo Finance, the only widely broadcast show about investing was Wall Street Week with Louis Rukeyser. And he started back in the late 60s. For over 30 years, it aired on that socialist, communist, pinko, liberal network that we know as PBS. Isn't that ironic? Everyone considers it so left-wing, and yet they were the only place that was showing you how to be a capitalist. This book, as I said, may be hard to find, but it's tremendous fun. Not only does Mr. Rukeyser discuss important investing concepts with great clarity, he's got a fabulous sense of humor, and you get a history lesson of what it was like to invest before the internet. And so it's in that respect, it's quite interesting, in my humble opinion. Now, here's a book that's not necessarily about investing, although there are some stories about classic financial improprieties of previous centuries. It's called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And it was written in the 1840s, but it will still shock you. It'll still set you back and say, how could people be so stupid? And the answer is they still are. Mr. McKay doesn't try to explain why they are and how they are. He just puts it out there and says, look, people believed in this stuff. People believed in witchcraft and the Crusades and tulip bulbs. As one of my students said several years ago, and I'll never forget it, it's easier to fool a million people than it is to fool one. And look, it's all nothing. It's just the technology's different. Now we got Facebook and Twitter and Skunk News and QAnon, and we got people who absolutely believe that at the same time they believe that the virus is a hoax, that COVID is a hoax, but it was created by the Chinese. So how could it be actually a hoax and created by the Chinese? I don't know. So there. Now, these next two books are more for personal finance. The Wealthy Barber by David Chilton and The Millionaire Next Door. They're a little dated, both of them, but the clarity of the ideas come through. The Wealthy Barber is still the easiest to read and most enjoyable personal financial book, in my humble opinion. The numbers are out of date, but the concepts are fabulous. And the best part is that Mr. Chilton's jokes are even worse than mine. Yeah. Next is The Millionaire Next Door. It was written in the mid-90s. Oh, by the way, The Wealthy Barber was written in the late 80s, but he updated it, kind of. When The Millionaire Was Next Door was published in the mid-90s, it shattered many of the myths about millionaires. And then it spawned a whole host of copycat books like The Millionaire Mind and Think Like a Millionaire and Be a Millionaire. They're all garbage. This one's the best one. Learn about how millionaires really build their wealth. And those of you starting young and following the concepts, techniques, and skills in our class will eventually join their ranks unless the world ends. And if that happens, oh well, I'll meet you at the beach. I'll bring the vodka. You bring the marshmallows. Now, this last book, this has little to do with investing and everything to do about being alive. It's not the only one, but this I think is the best one. It's called A Hero with 1,000 Faces by Joseph Campbell. Actually, you could read anything by Joseph Campbell, but if there's one book you should read in your lifetime, it is this one. Mr. Campbell has created a how-to manual for being a human. In The Hero with 1,000 Faces, we learn that we are all heroes on an adventure, a spectacular adventure. We're alive. We see how the world's major religions are calling us from thousands of years ago. They hope we learn how not to waste this precious gift that we've been given. And if that doesn't pique your interest, it's also the book that George Lucas used to create Star Wars. In fact, Mr. Campbell was on the sets of the first three Star Wars movies as a consultant. And by the way, many other people have stolen from The Hero with a Thousand Faces, The Hero's Journey. Disney is the most egregious. The Lion King is right out of the Hero with a Thousand Faces. I mean, the mythological hero and goes on a quest and then brings back to his community and saves the day. And so there, read it. But bring a big dictionary because he uses big words sometimes, and you're like, what? I never heard of that word. So. Cool. Books. Any other books that have helped you quite a bit? Give me a call. Give me an email. We'll stuff them in the bibliography. Well done. Read. Again, it'll give you an unfair advantage over your fellow humans. That's for sure. Especially the ones that are reading and listening and believing all the conspiracy theories about chips in the being put in your, changing your DNA with the COVID virus. And I heard one person actually believes that everybody who's gotten the COVID virus is going to die in 2 to 3 years. What a great opportunity. You can live wherever you want. You can have a pick of your house. Where do you want to live? La Jolla, Point Loma, Bonita, Ramona. You'll have a 67-acre ranch. Okay. See ya. So I goofed. Not everyone has had the coronavirus. Everyone has had the coronavirus vaccine. Anybody who's been vaccinated. I'm sorry. I gotta be more careful.